Good song. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. With all due respect, Dave, Royce Lewis is not the MVP. He's played 17 of the team's 77 games and has only 71 plate appearances. Carlos Correa has clearly been the MVP to this point. Joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Chris Atterbury, radio play-by-play voice for your Minnesota Twins. Chris, who is your MVP of the first half of the season so far? And good morning.
Oh, man. You guys are coming in hot. It's a good discussion. I mean, Royce is a special being. We know that. He came from some alien spaceship and just suddenly hits home runs. Carlos, I do think, has been instrumental, not just with his play, but I think Carlos kind of has set the tone that led to the entire team getting back to a hitting approach that works. I think I give him a lot of the credit for kind of the guys falling in line. But I'm going to throw a wild card at you, and I'm going to go with Carlos's suggestion for MVP, Willie Castro. And he was a guy who was in the mix last year, too, if you think about it. Only guy who's played in every game. When we're good, Willie's good. When Willie has a bad day, we're not very good. He allows the team to make all the moves, left, right, switch this, move this guy around, to optimize everybody in the lineup. His numbers as a right-handed hitter are, like, we're talking the OPS of like 950, MVP type stuff. So I'm just going to be a contrarian, throw Willie Castro in there.
I can actually hear Charlie smiling from ear to ear because that was his choice too.
Yeah, well, Charlie spent a year listening to me babble in that studio, so he probably learned well.
He spoke very highly of you, Chris. By the way, Chris, so let me ask you this. The Twins have really, really struggled with the teams with winning records. And what is it that we've got to do differently? I mean, the Yankees were 0-6. Against the Orioles, we're 0-3. Guardians, 0-5. Dodgers were okay, 1-2. But what is it that we're not doing there that we need to be able to figure out if we really want to go somewhere this year?
That's a big question, right? I mean, that is the deciding factor between your season being what you think it can be and everybody being disappointed. 0-14 against the top three records in the American League is not good. I think the simple thing to say, there's a couple ways. People say, well, it doesn't really matter. Look who was hurt. Look who wasn't. I don't buy any of that because everybody has players hurt, players missing. My personal opinion is we got pitch better. I think that our pitching has had its ups, but it's had its moments. And I think the same way that truly great hitters hit good pitching, the teams that win in the postseason, the hitters that are successful in the postseason, are hitters that hit good pitching. You can put good numbers up only hitting mistakes and subpar pitching, but you can't hide in the postseason. And similarly, you have to have pitchers who can get guys out in the strike zone. You can put up crazy good numbers, maybe even make an all-star team, getting bad teams and poor hitters to chase stuff out of the zone. That doesn't work against the best teams and in the biggest moments. You have to have the stuff and the ability to pitch in the zone and get guys out. And I think that's where we've come up short.
Chris Atterbury joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, speaking of pitching, we talked about Pablo Lopez early in the show. His numbers this year have been disappointing, I think, to say the least. What are you seeing out of him that is causing such up and down performances this year?
Man, if I knew that, I'd probably be sitting next to P. Mackey in the dugout. I can't tell you the why. I can tell you what I'm seeing in terms of him trying to solve the why. Because there are pitchers who, when that happens, throw their arms up or decide that they need a whole new pitch or scrap everything. Mm-hmm. Pablo is working so hard that even yesterday, today he's starting today. Yesterday, he was working in the bullpen doing a towel drill where you guys know the towel drill. You grab and you try to get the snap of the towel to make sure your arm path is correct. He was working off a mound in the bullpen, throwing into a net like 4 feet in front of him. That's a drill we haven't seen them break out so far this year. He is working tirelessly to figure it out. It started with the fact that his sweeper just wasn't nearly as good early this year as it was last year. Last year, he had never thrown the sweeper, and it was kind of an it pitch. Well, across the league, not just Pablo's sweeper, but people have kind of figured out what to do with that pitch, how to hit it, how to be successful with it. I think when his sweeper wasn't there, he was struggling to find other ways to get guys out. it might even be to the point where Pablo, he stayed in the preseason, he said, exhibition year. So I want to throw every pitch and every count to every handed batter. And at some point when you add other pitches, maybe you lose a little off the pitches you already had. Mm-hmm. So on days where he hasn't had his changeup in the zone, where he hasn't had the sweeper, he struggled to get people out. Honestly, I think sometimes he's better served just throwing more fastballs.
Yeah.
We don't throw a ton of fastballs, third fewest percentage in the league. Pablo is one of those guys, like I just mentioned, who can get you out in the zone with his fastball. And sometimes I think you just, you know, if I had to play armchair psychiatrist, go back to what you know works. You're better than them in the zone a lot of the time. Hitting's really hard. Come get him. I think when he hasn't played well, I think he's pitched a little passively. I've gotten to work a lot with Glenn Perkins this year, and it's fun having a pitcher in the booth, especially one who's of recent vintage. And Perk always says, I like Pablo when he pitches mad. He's almost, yeah, I mean, he's such a great guy. I want to see Pablo pitch mad and attack with a fastball more, and I think that might be a start.
Chris, is it is as special as it is for me as a guy who's more of a novice baseball guy? I go to games not very often, but I get to games here and there and saw you guys down there in spring training this year, and that was great. But have you ever seen anything like Royce Lewis and what he's been able to do in such a small – we all have to understand how many games he's played, and even this year it's been reduced, but in June, the fact that this guy is hitting home runs the way he is, it's absolutely incredible. What is it that about him, and have you ever seen anything like it?
So I've seen guys be hot, like crazy hot. I've seen talented players come and leave their mark. But Royce is more than that. He's not a fluke. I mean, the numbers are crazy, and they eventually level out. And no, he's not going to average 55 home runs a year. But there's no reason to believe that Royce Lewis isn't a superstar, because he is. In every fabric of his being, he is a superstar. He is one of the best humans that I've ever been around, is probably where I'll start. Royce Lewis lights up every room that he walks into. He never has a bad day outwardly. And I think that's the beginning, because all of it is so genuine. I've been around a lot of baseball players. The list of truly genuine baseball players, or humans, just in any walk of life, is a lot smaller than a small percentage of the overall humans that we meet on our daily basis. I just think the world of Royce. He's a freak of nature physically, because the way he does it, it doesn't look like other power hitters. It doesn't look like other third basemen, right? Like the mechanics of it, the way his body works, just a little different. You don't look at him, he's not a Greek god like Carlos or Buxton with the 0% body fat. You touch him and it's like touching, you know, a superhero or a robot. You know, he has these quick twitch muscles in this tissue that allows him to do things in the zone, keep the bat in the strike zone longer than everybody else. And then he's just unassailable mentally. I just love the guy. I love everything about him. You know, he was drafted as a skinny, fast guy. He had the two new knee surgeries, turned himself into a power guy. If he says, I don't believe in slumps, I mean, how do you not love that guy? I think he's wonderful. And I've said this repeatedly, and it's worth repeating. If you're like 12, 13, which I always think is like prime sports fan age, and you live in Twins territory, like Justin Jefferson, Anthony Edwards, Nafisha Collier, Royce Lewis, like Kaprizov, are you kidding me? Whatever your sport is, you've got someone to hitch your childhood sports wagon to that can drag you forward into the future with a smile on their face. And I think it's awesome.
That's a great point, man. Mm. You stop to think about all the great athletes we have on all the different teams right now, and you forget that there was a long time here where we didn't have all that. That's a great point. Chris, I want to ask you really quick before we let you go, as we get towards the All-Star break here. I'd like to know, give me two to three players you think should be All-Stars, and then how many actually will be All-Stars?
Well, we're going to have one. We're going to have one All-Star. And it's causing problems around the league trying to figure out who it's going to be. You could say, well, Carlos has been one of our best players, as you already said. He has. But he's not Gunnar Henderson or Bobby Witt Jr., who are probably two of the top three MVP candidates right now. Anthony Volpe's probably ahead of him, too. It's a deep, deep, deep shortstop position. The offensive pushes come late. Really hard, probably, for Carlos to make the team, despite the fact that he's been really, really good. There's a ton of great closers. So Duran's had a pretty good year. Not a great year, but a pretty good year. Probably not going to make it. Across the board at the other positions, Jeffers started hot, but he had a really, really poor month of June. And you've got Adley Rutschman and Sal Perez. So now suddenly you're like, where do those guys go? The guy who I think is most deserving is Griffin Jacks. He's been our best pitcher, if not our best player. And yet he's a setup guy kind of based on how we use our guys. So those guys are harder to get onto a roster. Joe Ryan, with another strong start or two, could be a guy I could see on the All-Star team. I would think if any of Correa, Jacks, Ryan, and maybe Duran, I think could be on the team, I'd be like, yeah. But I don't know which one it's going to be, and I think more of it's going to have to do with other teams' All-Stars than even those guys, because it's going to be about roster maneuvering in terms of making sure every team's represented and whatnot at the end of the day. But we're going to have one because, honestly, we're about a 500 team. We're just about, what, five games over or whatever? And unless you're running away with your division, you're not going to have a bunch of dudes. If you're Cleveland, you're going to have Ramirez, you're going to have Naylor. If you're the Yankees, you're going to have a bunch of dudes. If you live in a market where people vote like crazy, you're going to have more guys, like we saw with Atlanta, Texas last year. But we're the streaky team. And the streaky team isn't going to have multiple All-Stars, because if you have multiple All-Stars, you're not the streaky team.
Well, we can dream. Maybe someday. Chris, thanks so much for your time, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, we'll talk to you later. I'm going to the Coliseum for the last time.
Oh, are you? I can't imagine you're sad about that. That place is not, that can't be on your bucket list.
It's awful.
Well, I'm going to miss the possum in the press box. And, you know, for me, it was my college ballpark that we would go to.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I do have a lot of memories there. There's a lot of baseball history that's been writ there. It's kind of a little nostalgic. You know, it's a dump, but it's kind of a throwback dump. And the people who work there are really nice. There's
it's
so
a
many
dump,
people,
but it's our
so.
Dump, right?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of miss it. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks,
Take care,
Chris.
Chris
Atterbury, listen to him today on The Call, Twins, and Oakland just a little bit later today. We will take a pause, come back, wrap up the show. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.